At 102 degrees, I don't know what that was all about. September and 102 just doesn't go together. That's my opinion about it. But hey, we're so thankful for just an opportunity to come together once again and just honor the Lord, to love each other, and to just bless his name. So why don't you stand with me as we open with prayer and bless the Lord for his goodness. Lord God, we're so thankful. We're thankful that we can be here together. For those that are able to come in and join us through the online part of our service, we are so thankful for them as well, Lord, that we are all here to honor you, to open our hearts to your word, to be led by your spirit. Lord, I pray wherever we are, in person or not, that you will just have your will and your way in our hearts as we honor you and bless you. We just pray for your guidance in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing some hallelujah praise as we begin our service and just bless the Lord. So join me if you can as we sing.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, while you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing.
Song to start with. If you have experienced the love of God and you have just felt his joy and his peace, you know what I'm talking about. That, man, I just want to sing the joy of the Lord and just express that hallelujah, Lord. You're so awesome. And if you're listening today and or you're here this morning and you don't know what I'm talking about, man, you need to find that love, that eternal, wonderful, ever-increasing love of God. Amen. And join with me in that song someday. To know his love is just amazing. I had the privilege and the joy to go on an elk hunt this last week. Whew. 37 miles I walked, apparently. I have this watch that tells me on my steps. And I made a decision that if it's ever 102 degrees on an elk hunt, don't do it. That's hot. Anybody with me? You all you hunters out there? It's probably not a great combination. But finally, towards the end of the week, Justin and I, were able to get on a little bit of elk activity, and so God blessed us with the opportunity to at least see something alive other than our feet walking. And yet, you know, I didn't come home with anything. But I still have joy. I still have hope. I still have the love of God that is eternal. And while in my flesh I'm disappointed I didn't put some meat in the freezer, God is good. Amen? And so it's not about those things and situations in our lives that cause us to just rejoice and sing hallelujah. It's the love of God. And to know Him is to know what's the most important thing. So I'm excited to be with you today. I survived a week. I think I dropped 10 pounds, so that's not a bad thing. I don't usually weigh myself, but I actually did. I'm curious. I'm going to see. Woo! Oh, yeah. I should do that again every week. Might lose another 10 or 20 or something. Wouldn't hurt. But, you know, God is good. So let's just continue to sing in with joy and thankfulness. Amen? Let's pray as we prepare to just take up an offering at this time and just bless the Lord with our giving. Lord, we're so thankful that we can give to you. We can just give back a small portion of the blessing. And so I pray, Lord, just a blessing on each and every one that's able to give, those who've already put in their offering. those who've done it through the online option. We're just so thankful, Lord, that we are able to bless you and bless the ministries that you've called this church to be a part of. As a family, we want to reach out and be the church in our world. And Lord, I'm so thankful for those who are so faithful to make that possible. We just pray your blessing in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue to worship, and you're welcome to give in the offering plates in the front or online. Song and sincerity. I will give you all my worship, Lord. I will worship you, you alone. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to do something special right now. Some of you are nearby to where Kevin is at. Kevin's towards the back, Kevin Thompson. And he asked for prayer today. And I'm also going to lift up Ron Bishop in prayer. And I know there's many needs that are represented here in this family. But as Kevin is in the back there, would some of you that just believe in the power of prayer, would you gather around him and be prepared to lay hands on him? He asked for that today, and I'm going to pray that God will bless his knee. There's been some fluid on the knee and just some struggles with that. And he needs a touch in his body. He's got a lot of different things that are happening. But I believe that God is part of bringing things to our attention to lead us by his will to pray in his name. When you find the heart of God and you pray the prayers that are on his heart, miracles happen. And so I'm going to pray for Kevin, I'm going to pray for Ron, and just believe that God is leading us to pray his prayer, to pray for his touch. In the very same way that Jesus prayed over those who had infirmities and miracles happened, I believe that God still does those same miracles today. So let's seek his face. Let's pray his prayer. as he leads by the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I believe you have orchestrated this moment for this time to gather together in your name, to be led by your Spirit to pray for healing. And Lord, we pray that touch to be upon Kevin, that you will do the miracle that you led him to ask for, to come to me and to say, Lord, I need your touch. And so we lay hands upon Kevin right now in Jesus' name, which means your will be done, that the miracle of your healing touch will be upon him at this moment. We ask your touch to flow through the knee in Jesus' name. And for Ron with the cancer that's been discovered, we know that there's a surgery planned, and we believe that doctors are there to help us. We do. But Lord, you are the great physician. And if it's your will to remove the cancer, that there's no need for the doctor to intervene, may it be so. We pray for your healing touch to be upon him, that there will be a success of removal of this cancer. We know that you can do it by your own power and your own might. It's a twinkle of an eye. It's a small thing for you to just simply say, you're gone. Be gone, cancer, from the body. And so, Lord, we pray that your will be done in removing this cancer from his body. We know that doctors are there to help. Surgeries are successful these days. And Lord, if it's your will to use that doctor's hand, may it be steady, may he be wise, and may the surgery be completely successful. But Lord, we want your will to be done, and so we pray that you will touch and heal as you choose. We lift this up to you, Lord, and we give you thanks for the joy and the peace and the hope that you have instilled in our hearts as we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And for all other needs that are represented here today, we lift them into your hands and pray for your will to be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Stand next to your majesty, next to your holiness. Who can stand? What compares faced with your righteousness? Faced with your promises, what compares? Here we are, by your grace we stand, matchless King, we come to your right. we've come to say.
Your King. He is your Lord. Honor him. Love him. Serve him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe. In our weakness and temptation.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit.
We thank you, God. We thank you for that, Lord. As we stand humbly before you, God, realizing your position and where you are in our lives, Lord, we pray that we would just keep you our number one priority in everything that we do, God. And Lord, we just pray that you would just pour out your Spirit. And Lord, that we would listen to it. We would not only listen to it, but we would have the desire for that, Lord. And then when you call us to action, Lord, we would step out and we would do that. I pray for that, Jesus. Whatever that action may be, God, pray that we would respond. Help us to do that, Lord, we ask. I pray that you would just be with everybody here, God. And everybody online, Lord, we pray. That you would just touch them. And minister to them in a powerful way, God. We ask that you just be pleased today, Lord. With us, Lord. We ask. Bless us. Be with the pastor, Lord, as he's going to bring forth the word here later, and that she would just minister to it, God. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. A good week, has it not? Just worshiping God, and there are a lot of things going on. Here. We're busy. We had some Sunday school this morning, so it was nice being in Sunday school again and just praising God in there. A lot of things going on, okay? We have like the dinner church every Wednesday at 6:30 at the American Legion. That's good. And we had last night, we had the Bible study over at Lou Toledo's. Then Robert and MJ Marks are leading that. And there was a nice crowd there in that. We were all huddled around the living room there in that. So that was a lot of fun. So in So exciting things here. We've got the High Point begins this Wednesday. So basically, yeah, you know, one to if you're in first to sixth grades or you know somebody who's in that, let them know. Right after school there, we got transportation that goes right from Jefferson in Lincoln there. We can work that out. But let's get registered on that. And ladies' coffee this Sunday, we will, or not we, but the ladies, will meet at Craven's at 9:30. Now, she's opening that up especially for our ladies there at 9:30. So that would be awesome. Time of fellowship there. And Friday fellowship is going to be this Friday, not this Friday, it's the September 23rd at Pastor Kevin and Tina's house there at 6 p.m. So please bring a dish to pass. So, and then on October 15th, there's going to be a Real Gals auction. So if you have some gently used or new items there, get with Lou on that. That'll be awesome for that, to raise some money for that, for the ladies' ministry in that. So, all right. So, kids' church, we are going to excuse all the kids down with MJ and where they're going to minister. And we hope we have a great day and a great week. So, Pastor?
No? There we are. Hey, all right. We're good. I think Pastor Doug said Sunday for the ladies. It's Saturday. So let's make sure we get the right day for you so you don't show up a day late. That would be disappointing, especially if it's during Sunday school. You're over at Craven's and they're not open, I don't think, on Sundays. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there. And God is good, and we're excited about all the activities that are happening. I'm excited that we are starting all these different ministries up once again. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to start with verse 10. I've got verse 10 through 17, and then I'm also going to jump down to verse 21 through 24 if you're taking notes. I was not able to get it into your bulletin. If you have the church app, it's uploaded and ready to go, so you can use the church app. If you don't have the church app and you have a smartphone, you need to get the church app. We actually pay for that service, and it's a shame that more people aren't using it. So I'm going to put that plug in there. It's not necessarily cheap, but it's worth the cost if you use it. So please use the church app, and you can follow along. And then I'm going to jump to verse 27 through verse 31. So let's begin and look at what the Word of God declares in Isaiah 40, verse 10. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and His arm rules for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollows of His hand, and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows Him His counsel? Whom did He consult, and who made Him understand? Speaking of God, I think it's a rhetorical question. No one. Who taught Him the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, He takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon will not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. Jumping down to verse 21. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. We've got plenty of those this year. I get bombarded every time I walk from my house. I don't know about you guys. I got this nice path, tall grass on both sides, and the pummeling of the grasshopper. I can't wait till that first hard freeze. Amen. Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in? Who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness? Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. These are pretty harsh words, reality checks. No one can counsel God. God is beyond our ability to comprehend. The vastness, the power, the might, the creation of what he has done is unfathomable, but it's true. And then we get to those verses that we often quote that feel good. They kind of make us go, ooh. Verse 27, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? In other words, oh, he can't see me. I'm getting away with it. Well, that doesn't make me feel good. Not yet. Hang on. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. That's one we get excited about. We kind of forget about reading the previous verses. That is all about correction and straightening us out. But we get to this everlasting God statement and we go, yeah, hallelujah. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he has increased strength. Yeah, I like that. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. I felt a little bit of that exhaustion this week. But they who wait for the Lord... Oh, hey, this sound familiar? They that wait upon the Lord, they that wait for the Lord shall what? They shall renew their strengths. Whew, yeah. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why is it we read the blessing and the truth of who God is and what he does for you as you submit yourself into his hands? Why do we read that, but we don't read the previous verses about a people that has rudely and disrespectfully looked at God as nothing, disrespected his word, and ignored his truth, and got all high and mighty as if we're something, when we're really nothing compared to who he is? We have the tendency to pick and choose what we read. Today is not one of those days. We're going to look at the whole truth. We will end with encouragement. We will end with joy and strength, and the weariness will be off of us, and we will find that everlasting ability to just run without tiredness. In other words, we can do what God's asking us without quitting. But we have to first talk about how we need to choose correctly and do it right and learn from our mistakes. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful that we can look to you. This is a special day of remembrance in our country. It's a day that we look back and we not necessarily tremble at the thought, but I think it's true that we all remember where we were when we saw the unveiling of the attack of September 11th, 2001. The confusion believing that a airplane, not sure of what size, accidentally just ran into one of the twin towers. I remember the story as it broke, Lord. And something in my spirit drew my attention to it as I watched the second plane hit. We remember that day. And we have mixed feelings about it. Lord, may we learn from what happened that day. May we learn from what happened after that day and the days that followed until we are here today. May we learn to look to you as our King, to recognize and know you are Lord. You are the Almighty. We are but a drop as nations compared to you and who you are. May we remember and turn to you in humility. I pray that you will help us, Lord, today to hear your words of truth and to respond accordingly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I do want to take a moment of silence just to think about that day. This is September 11th. It's a day we commemorate the loss of thousands of Americans when our country came under attack. Let's just pause for just a moment and think about those lives that were lost. Many were believers, I would imagine. I don't know very many stories. I'm sure there are stories of faithful followers of Christ that died that day. Whether they were in the buildings as workers on the job, or they were firefighters or policemen that were there to help. Maybe they were in the Pentagon when it was attacked. I don't know. Maybe they were on the plane and they helped avoid another disaster, but they gave their lives in sacrifice. Let's just pause for a moment to remember those that mourn their loss and the loss of the innocence, I guess you could say, of our country. Until that day, there was some disturbing trends that I was watching revealed before me. I heard it stated, and there was this belief that our country, as great as our country is, and it is a wonderful country to live in, our country had come to a place of believing that we were the invincible, all-powerful nation in the world. I still remember when Madeleine Albright actually said that in an interview. It shook me. We were wrong. After referencing Isaiah 40, verse 31, in July of 2001, I felt led to pray this prayer. And I've shared this once before with you, and I share it once again. I wrote it down because I felt it was something from the Holy Spirit. Here's part of that prayer. Our country has soared on the wings of a bald eagle. It has faced numerous adversities only to become stronger and more secure. Let us pray that our country continues to be led by godly men and women, President, Congress, judiciaries, or we will witness the hand of God in a way our country has never seen before. In my spirit, I believed that the hand of God's protection on our country was going to be lifted, and we would soon experience something tragic that would change our lives forever. I felt that so deeply that I spoke on it, I referenced it, I prayed it. When tragedy struck, did we repent of our worldly ways and seek the face of God as a country? I was in St. Cloud, Minnesota at the time in a large church. I was on staff there with multiple pastors. Our church, along with most ministries in America, prepared for what we believed would be an increased attendance with plans, specific detailed plans on how we are going to accommodate the large numbers to reach new people with the gospel message. The first week after September 11th, 2001, we saw a mild uptick in attendance. The second week was less. And by the third week, we were back to the status quo. There was no change. Rather than change, here's what we heard and here's what we saw. There was a digging in and an increase in defiance to God. And all that is holy. Isaiah 9:10 was quoted over and over by politicians and leaders. They said these words, which President Clinton said at first back in the day, and I think he might have been the reference for it, but they said this: "The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with dressed stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will put cedars in their place." These were the words of Israel in defiance of God. If you want to see how that played out, go ahead and read the rest of the chapter. It brought about the wrath of God upon them, and it's only a matter of time before we too will see the judgment of God. Where have we come since that day? It's greatly disturbing, the path that we have chosen as a country. A country of which we love. Many of you fought for our freedoms and for the rights that we have to gather in His name without fear, to honor the Lord, the God of all creation who brought this country into existence. I believe that this country is a miracle, even with all the tragedies that we have had throughout the time of the founding of this country until today. There has always been a people that have honored God. Many of the leaders in the early days, whether they were born again or not, we can discuss that, we can certainly debate it, but they honored the Word of God and what the Word of God declared for mankind. And we've done our best to represent it in this country. We've made our mistakes. We've made some bad choices. But where are we today? Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15 is the challenge. Because you have the individual opportunity to choose. We often talk about our country and look where our country is today. And we really honestly have to understand that we're saying the same thing about the church. Where is the church today? Look what's happened to the church today. Well, let me clarify and let me put a very big highlight on this: you are the church. I shared this because it's something that God's been building up in me lately, passionately. And I'm going to challenge you all of you out there on the internet as well. Stop inviting people to church. People don't want to come to an institution to hear about the religion that you profess. You are the church. Invite them to know you and your heart and your love of God. You are the church you're inviting them to. And when we talk about our country and the direction we've gone, we are partly to blame. Because we are America. We are the citizens of this country. We have the right to choose for ourselves. And that's what Joshua 24:14 says. "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served." I don't want to know about your past. I don't know about the things. I don't need to know about the way things were with mom and dad and whatever it is your history is. The gods of your fathers, what they worshiped, what they thought was important, this is behind you. They served this on the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, stop pretending. Well, I paraphrase. Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If you want to profess Christ, you better live for him. Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not going to love people. You're giving us a bad name. You are not a follower of Christ. You are a follower of religion. Stop it. This is the word of the Lord. You want to see people come to faith? You invite them to faith. You be the representation of the church. You be Christ to them. Love them unconditionally and show them what it is to love God. Because they're tired of the judgment. They're tired of the hypocrisy. And so am I, and so is God. September 11, 2001 was a warning to America. It wasn't judgment. You may think it was judgment, but it wasn't. It was a lifting of God's hand of protection to say to this country, you are not the invincible power. You are not the almighty. You can be hurt. You can be destroyed. Choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. You know what we chose? We chose to stand up in defiance and say, you know what? We've been attacked, but we're going to fight back. The bricks have fallen, but we're going to rebuild with even better stones, more secure stones. The sycamores have been cut down, but we're going to put even stronger trees in its place. We have defied God. And it's time to stop defying him. Look where it's led us. We don't even know what gender we are anymore. I can't change America. You can't change America. I can't change the church. You can't change the church. But you can change you, and I can change me. And when we all do what God's called us to do, you'd be surprised and amazed how the church changes. How people start saying, you know what? That's awesome. I want that. I want to love that way. I want to be loved that way. I want to be a family too. But what do they see? They see religion. They see judgment. They see an institution. What do you see when you see America? I see confusion. I see the demon of confusion. Because why? Because we chose defiance over God. It breaks my heart to see where we've gone as a country. It breaks my heart to see where we've gone as a church. And I'm not speaking specifically my church family. You're my family. I love you all, by the way. But you know what I'm saying? The institution of the church is in trouble. Well, maybe it needs to be. Maybe we need to stop thinking about the institution of this body and realize that you and I are the church. And when we choose Christ, when we choose for ourselves today, I'm serving the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm choosing him. We are going to see miracles happen. We are going to see the church become the true church of Jesus Christ. We are going to see love of people and people coming to a place of faith. Why? Because they are loved by you. Not loved by the church, you. And eventually, hopefully, prayerfully, we'll see something happen in this country for the good of the Lord. It's God who leads us. Have you studied the beginnings of this country? Back in the day, I'm getting old. I'm 52, by the way, in case you're wondering. I know I only look 30. A 30-year-old losing hair, that, right? Hey, it's fair. No, I'm 52 years old. I've been around for a little while now. Things have changed a lot. I remember when we actually used to study the coming of the pilgrims to the colonizations of the founding of this great land. I remember when we actually talked about the Thanksgiving that was gathering with the indigenous people, and I don't even know what they used to call each other back then. Did they call the pilgrims pilgrims? I doubt it. We just call them that. But the people that lived there in the land, the natives to the land, they gathered with the colony of those white people that showed up, who were there for what reason? To have freedom to worship God as they felt they should. To not be told by the king, you can't worship this way. They left the king so they could worship God their way, the way the Bible says. That's the truth of what this country started from. I remember when we used to study that in class. You could go into the library and pick out the Bible if you wanted to, because it was there. I don't know if it still is. But when you start studying some of the miraculous things that came, that put this country together, the fact that they were able to come in November and survive, a lot of them died, they got sick, they froze to death, they didn't have food, but somehow enough people survived that, and they didn't leave and go back to England, but they stayed and more people came, and before you know it, we have 13 colonies that began the country of what we now have as the United States of America. And over and over and over, miracle after miracle after miracle took place by the hand of God. It wasn't the wisdom of mankind. It wasn't any of those things that we think, oh, we're so great because we're so smart. No, they couldn't even figure out how to put this Constitution together until someone spoke up and said, it's time to pray. That's in the history books. We can't agree. Everybody's divided. I think we need to pray and ask God's guidance in this matter. And so they did. Believer and non-believer sat there together and prayed, and they gathered together in a church and were able to begin what we now have for our Constitution and signed it, and here we are. Why? Because of the hand of God. There's never been, in my opinion, a greater country than the country that we live in today. Now, that's a personal opinion. You can certainly disagree, and you're fine to do so. It's a free country. Amen? Verse 11, verse 10 and 11 of chapter 40. Look at it with me again. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd, and he has been that for us. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. He will lead us if we choose to follow. I believe America has been so blessed by the hand of God. Truly blessed. Have we done it all right? No. I mean, we're still human. There's some parts of our history that I'm embarrassed to even talk about. I'm embarrassed to talk about how we handled the indigenous people, the natives of this land, and how we came and said, you don't own this land, it's ours now, move off. And there's a lot of things we did wrong. I'm not proud of that. But in spite of the stupidity and the bad choices and the mistakes that have been made, there has been opportunity for the grace of God and the love of God and the gospel to be preached, and people have been following him through the decades of our country. Miraculously, we are here and we are throwing it out as trash. And it's heartbreaking to see. Rather than saying, God bless America, we should be saying, bless God, America. When we start seeing that throughout this country, rather than God bless America, you know what? God shouldn't be blessing us today. Look at what we've done. Look at how we disrespect him and his word. Look at how we have looked at his lead and have basically said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want any part of that. As a country, it's shameful what we've done as leaders in this country. But you know what? When we, the people, start saying, bless God, America, we might start seeing some change. So I challenge you If you're going to put something on your straw bales, your hay bales, and you're going to put the big signs and the big posters and pay the money for those big billboards, let's start changing the words around. Amen? Bless God, America, and maybe we'll see some change. God has been our shepherd. He has tended his flock. He has gathered his lambs. He's carried them close to his heart, and he leads us gently. He's respectful. He's a better dad than I've ever been. I want to honor him. I choose him. I choose to remember that this warning that we commemorate today was our own doing. Those guys didn't need to have access to those jets with razor blades. They didn't need to have pilot lessons to prepare themselves for this attack that took them 2 years or more. They didn't need to have access. They could have been stopped, but he let them through. He allowed it to take place, and people died. Why? Because we are arrogant and proud and think we don't need God anymore. There is none above God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Not me. Who marked off the heavens with a span? Not me. Enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure? I can't even hardly hold a little handful of dust. Who weighs the mountains on a scale? I'm sorry, not me. The hills? In a balance? Who's measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him his counsel? Well, I have to admit I've tried that. I probably shouldn't have, but I think I told God he did it wrong. Come on. God, are you sure you know what you're doing? I think you made a mistake, Lord. Be careful. Be careful. Don't be Job, right? I mean, Job had his reasons. I'm still pretty impressed with how Job handled all that. I really am. But he had questions. And God basically goes on a 3 or 4 or 5 chapter answer of telling him why Job is really not in a place where he should question God. And that's what we have in one little verse. Are you going to give God counsel? Who made him understand? You are the one made in his image, not the other way around. Amen? Who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? The answer is no one. God is omnipotent. That's all-powerful, in case that's too big a word, and it is a big word. Omniscient, he's all-knowing. There is nothing he does not know. He knows it all. He is the actual know-it-all. That's kind of fun to say. There is an actual know-it-all. He is the one. Have you ever been accused of being a know-it-all? You should don't raise your hand. Don't do that. No, you don't know it all. I'm sure I've gone through those cycles of pride. He's omnipresent. In other words, you can't hide from God. He sees you always. You may think you're getting away with it, but he sees all. He's omnipresent. Somebody once debated in college. I remember in Bible college, we get those dumb debates. Anybody say amen to that? If God is omnipresent, that can't be true because God's not in hell. Whatever. Do we want to go down that discussion? I don't. Why did I bring it up? Because we're stupid. We do dumb things. We argue point. If God is so powerful, can he make a rock too big that he can't lift it? What? Yeah, if he's so all powerful, then can God really make a rock
big enough that he can't lift it? And I'm like, what are you? That's a dumb question. We're in Bible college. We're better than this. Sorry, I get on tangents. What is the point of that? Well, it's to say the next line. Nations are what? They are dust. We are dust before him. We think we're so awesome, we're so great, we're amazing, we're invincible, we're all powerful. No, you are dust. That's it. Why are we here? Because of the hand of God. Why do we have this country of which we have so much freedom, so many wonderful blessings, and it doesn't matter where you're from, where you're born, what color your skin is, you have the great privilege of living in a country that gives you freedom to be who you want to be, even if you choose wrongly about who you choose to be. You have that freedom here. Why? Because God has given that to you through the amazing grace that he's put upon this country. We have taken it too far in some ways, and oh my goodness, why are we acting and doing the things we are doing? I can't answer that, except that there is a demonic force that's on the attack, and I think the greatest success they've had, these demons, is to create confusion. There is a darkness, there is an evil, it's present, but have you noticed the confusion? It's perplexing. I don't understand what's going on. It's so far from reality and truth. And yet people believe outrageous things. Why? I believe it's demonic. What should we do? We should love the people. Pray for the people that they would find the truth of God. We should be representing Christ to them, that they would be lifted and their eyes would be opened to see who God is and his truth, his love, and his grace, and his salvation. Hallelujah. People are as grasshoppers. Princes and rulers are brought to nothing. And so I say this, we are exactly where God wants us to be. And our future is in his hand. If the Lord allows me, I'm praying about this, I may follow up with another lesson about where it may be that we are heading as a country. Pray with me this week if he lets me preach that message. God doesn't always say yes to what I'm saying because I don't always do it his way. I have to ask him. I know where we're going. And then God says, no, we're not going there. So we'll see next week what God says. So where are we today? Now we get to the blessing. Are you good? You ready for that? You ready for the running without getting weary? For the strength? I know I am. I want to hear it. Isaiah 40, verse 27. Let's go there. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. You feel downtrodden, you feel overwhelmed, you feel tired, you feel weary, you feel all the pressures. Well, stop. Remember who you serve. God the Almighty, the Creator. And what can you know from this? This everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, he doesn't get tired. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He's beyond our ability to comprehend. He knows everything, and we can trust him. And if we trust him, if we choose for ourselves this day, we will serve the Lord. Here's the promise. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. You feel weary and overwhelmed. You dealing with depression and sadness. You struggling with the pressures of this life. Turn to him and find his strength. Turn to him and find the might of God. The youths will faint, In other words, it doesn't matter if you are a young man, young woman, and you have all the vigor that comes to your body at that age, and you're not getting old to where you start getting tired early, but you are just like on fire. Guess what? You're going to get tired. You can't go forever. You will faint. You will become weary. Young men shall fall exhausted. But guess what? Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. You'll run, not get tired. You'll walk and not faint. That's the promise of God for you. There's days where I look at where we're at in this country, in this world, and it's overwhelming. It's depressing. It's frustrating. It can be angering because I don't understand. How have we come to this place, this great country of what we certainly do love and are so thankful to live within? Well, we chose arrogance. We chose pride. We chose to disrespect the one who gave us all this blessing. God has blessed America. And now here we are, struggling to survive. Your way is not hidden. You're not unseen. He sees you. He knows your discouragement. He knows your sorrows. He knows your grief. He knows your pain. And if you turn to Him, you're going to find strength. You will find the peace and the joy that's promised by our Lord Jesus Christ. And while all around us, it's all hell breaking loose, it really is. It's so wow. Guess what? You have peace. You have joy. You have strength. And you will respond to the will of God without weariness. And you will have a power and a might in you that is going to be unfathomable and so wonderful. Why? Because you're serving the great, wonderful creator of this world. He sees you. We can change our community, our church, our state, our country, one individual at a time. It begins with you. Some of you doubt this could happen. I get that. But I don't doubt you. I believe in you. If you're listening, I believe in you. You can choose Christ. God will give you strength, hope in the Lord. Soar. Run. Walk. Would you stand with me as we close? God has given Americans, and I speak specifically to Americans today, although some are listening from across the seas, God has given Americans every reason to place trust in Him because of tremendous blessing. There's a reason why people want to come here, why people are crossing the border illegally. It shouldn't be doing it. It should be happening. It should be a legal process. But people are desperate to get here. Why? Because of the great blessings that God has bestowed upon this nation, that we are slowly seeing eroded away. He has given us tremendous blessing. It is crucial that we turn that blessing back to Him. The time will come when His warnings will turn to judgment. It may be coming soon. But me, I choose Christ. Me, I choose Father God. I and my house will serve the Lord. Would you join with me in that promise? Lord, we choose you. I know what leaders of our country, what leaders of our state, and even our community have done is disturbing, it's wrong. In so many ways, we can't even hardly describe it. But Lord, sometimes it's true. We who are the church choose wrong as well. We disrespect. We judge. We don't love. We actually spew hate. And that is wrong. Today, we choose you. We choose to follow your ways. We choose to follow your decrees. We make your truth our truth because that is the only truth. And we will love the way you love. We will abide by the two greatest commands that you stated, to love you and to love people. And if we can do that with sincerity and with your help through the power of your Holy Spirit, which you've promised that we can soar, that we can run, and we can walk, we will see a change. We will see people's lives turn to you because of the love that we've shared that comes from your heart. I pray for this country. But Lord, specifically, I pray for the people. Those who are lost, may they be found. Those who are hurting, may they find healing. And may we be the best representation of who you are on the planet as we serve with all our hearts. May I be who you've created me to be. That we are the church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Find someone to love that needs to be loved. Amen.